Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. Joshua was perhaps the greatest commander, general, warrior of all time. His resume speaks for itself. He toppled 31 kings. Now, I haven't done an exhaustive search throughout military history, but it seems like taking down 31 kings would put you right near the top of the list of greatest warriors ever, if not make you the greatest. So Joshua was outstanding in battle. He ran to the fight. He was exceedingly bold and courageous. But where did that courage come from? Joshua was charged to be courageous. God commanded it from Joshua. This is Joshua 1, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. And then again in verse 9, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be you dismayed, for the Eternal your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua followed the outstanding example of Moses, God's leader before him. Joshua followed Moses out of slavery in Egypt, along with the rest of the Israelites. And Joshua got to see up close and personal how God used Moses. He came to appreciate God's one-man rule and how God worked miracles through Moses as Moses had faith in God and obeyed God. Joshua was prepared for his moment when it came time for him to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Moses, as part of a punishment from God, was allowed to take the Israelites to the brink of the promised land, but not actually to enter it. Therefore, Joshua had to take it from there. He had to take the people into the promised land. And it was not okay for the Israelites to coexist with any of the Gentile Canaanite inhabitants of the promised land. God was disgusted by the idolatry and the child sacrifice of the Canaanites in the promised land. Therefore, for God's chosen nation to be part of that land, these other peoples had to get out. They had to be defeated. There was no other option. God never compromises. He hates compromise. He hates negotiation. He hates settling for peace when war is necessary. So Joshua really had to be a warrior. He had to be a strong, courageous leader for the Israelites. Now, just imagine this scenario. This is an incredible story from Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, starting in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And the man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Eternal am I now come. Again, imagine this. Joshua 5, verse 13, and the first part of verse 14. Joshua saw a mighty warrior just out in the open as he was scouting Jericho. Jericho was going to be their first conquest in the promised land. And he stumbles across this mighty warrior out there on the plain. Joshua marched right up to this man and said, "Are you for us or against us? Are you a friend or an enemy?" Now, most normal people would not spot a strong man, a valiant warrior with sword drawn, and march right up to him and confront him. But that is what Joshua did. Joshua was courageous. Joshua knew God was behind him. And Joshua had a lot of war thinking. To Joshua, you're either for him or against him. There's really no in between. There's no such thing as neutrality. Now, the answer from this stranger stunned Joshua. Again, this stranger told Joshua that he was the captain of God's armies, the captain of the host of the eternal. In other words, Joshua had just confronted the very God being who later became Jesus Christ, the captain of God's armies. Notice how Joshua responded, starting here in Joshua 5, verse 14. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What says my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the eternal's host said unto Joshua, Loose your shoe from off your foot, for the place whereon you stand is holy. And Joshua did so." Now, this is a remarkable example for all of us doing God's work in many ways. But just notice the contrast here. When Joshua was unsure who this warrior was, he was bold. He was confrontational even, until he was made aware of the identity of this man. Joshua was ready to fight him. But the very moment Joshua understood that he was speaking to a God, his entire attitude changed. He went from bold, defiant, ready to fight, to instantly humble and submissive, ready to obey, ready to follow the true captain of God's armies, the true captain of the Israelites. Sure, Joshua was leading the people into the promised land, but only with God on their side could they be victorious. Could they defeat 31 kings? Joshua understood where the power was coming from. Joshua submitted to God. He was ready to fight anyone else, but when it came to God himself, he immediately submitted. He showed proper respect. He obeyed. We have an amazing book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com titled The Former Prophets, How to Become a King. Again, you can receive a free copy at thetrumpet.com, written by Mr. Gerald Fleury, the pastor general of the Philadelphia Church of God. And here on page 26, Mr. Fleury writes, "Jesus Christ, here manifested as a man, is a military commander." That's quite a different image from what we see in traditional Christianity today, where Christ is pictured as pale, frail, long-haired, effeminate, a pacifist, someone who just gets trampled and does nothing about it. Now, certainly Christ did come to be sacrificed for the sins of all mankind, and of course he would not fight against becoming that sacrifice. But at the same time, Christ was no pushover as a man. There's, of course, the famous story of Christ entering the temple and seeing merchants buying and selling on holy ground. And Christ was, of course, enraged by this. he was overthrowing the tables of the money changers, whipping the beasts to make them leave the temple. And he yelled at everyone, "Get out!" Christ was and is a mighty warrior for God. He is God, and he is a warrior. He never loses. He is undefeated. Christ was bold. Christ was a leader of men. People naturally followed him. Women and children flocked to him as well. Christ was a warrior and remains a warrior today. Joshua followed that example. Mr. Fleury continues here on page 26 of The Former Prophets. This magnificent being was the one leading the Israelites into the promised land. It wasn't Joshua. That same God is leading the Philadelphia Church of God into the kingdom of God today. When we do God's work, we are standing on holy ground. Remember, the captain of God's armies told Joshua, "Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground." Joshua obeyed. Joshua worshiped this God being standing in front of him. We are standing on holy ground when we do God's work. That is a weighty responsibility. Not just anyone can be a part of God's work today. There are 8 billion people on earth, and only a handful of thousands is supporting God's warning message going out. We are to pray for more laborers to help bring in the great harvest of all mankind. But right now, most people are not being called by God. Most people have not had their minds opened to the truth. Their time will come. The main job we have today doing God's work is to deliver a warning message. That is our purpose, supporting God's work. And God is using people who, for one thing, take an interest in that message. Perhaps you have heard the Key of David, and really it rocked your world. Or maybe you saw a copy of the Philadelphia Trumpet in a doctor's office and felt compelled to fill out the postcard for your own free subscription. Maybe the message Mr. Fleury is delivering as we support him has changed your life, improved your life, given you vision and hope in some way. Hopefully. But that's our job. We're doing God's work. We are giving hope. We are giving a warning to the world. But doing God's work does involve spiritual war. It does involve asking, are you for us or against us? That's exactly the question that Joshua asked the God who later became Jesus Christ. And of course, once Joshua found out, he humbled himself and he responded properly. But that's the way God looks at it. We're either for his work or against it. In fact, God commands us to pick a side. Do you realize that? God doesn't want us just hanging out in the middle, being neutral. Revelation chapter 3 has a warning message to this seventh and final church era, the Laodicean era. And notice this. Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Again, that's Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. Obviously, God wants us fiery hot, passionate, zealous about doing his work. But he would even prefer people who are ice cold, who actively hate and attack the work instead of people that just don't care. That's the problem with Laodiceans. 95% of God's church in this end time is just lukewarm. They just don't care enough to actually do what they're being taught. Ezekiel 33 talks about a pleasant message going out and warning people. And plenty of those who have a history with God are hearing that message, but not doing anything about it. They feel good about listening to it, but they don't take action. James 1 says we have to be doers of God's law, not just hearers, not just casual enjoyers of the message of the PCG. We have to do something about it. We cannot be lukewarm. God says, pick a side. He says, you're either for me or against me. Show some respect and put some effort into your part in God's work. That's what God is telling us. Notice Hebrews chapter 2, just reinforcing this point that Jesus Christ is the captain of God's armies. Hebrews 2 verses 9 and 10, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. This is talking about Jesus Christ divesting himself of godly glory to become a man and to die for our sins. But not just to remain dead, but to then live again, to bring many sons to glory. The same way that Christ died and was resurrected, we humans can die and then be resurrected into the God family. Christ is leading the way as the captain of our salvation straight into God's kingdom. Page 26 of the former prophet says, Christ is the captain of our salvation. That goes beyond his being the captain who led Joshua into the promised land. This is the captain who is leading us into salvation, the spiritual promised land. It's not about what happened anciently. It's about what's happening right now. In his latest sermon, Mr. Gerald Fleury said that we are being judged by what we're doing right now. Are we fighting for God? Are we fighting against God? Are we waffling somewhere in the middle? Are we neutral like Switzerland in World War II? What is our position? God wants to know. God wants to see, based on our support of his work, on our taking action, responding to the warning message, that we are dead serious, that we want to be mighty warriors for God, just like Joshua was. Page 27. Joshua really showed respect for this God. He kept him in the spotlight all the time. He was ready to fight him, but when he found out who he was, he bowed down before his captain. We need to capture that spirit. Today, this captain is leading us, not just into some physical paradise, but into the universe. And we are going to help him bring all mankind into ruling and beautifying the universe. What an example Joshua was. Ready to fight, seeing things from God's perspective. You're either for God or against God. The battle lines have been drawn. God expects us today to go to war spiritually, to get the message out no matter what, regardless of any and all obstacles and persecution. Keep the faith, study the Bible, pray to God, do your part in the work. Be a reason why the work moves forward. That's our responsibility. What an example Joshua was. What an example Christ still is for all of us. As we do God's work, we must be mighty warriors for God. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.